This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Dan Maurer, a member of the CHS Government Affairs team in Washington, D.C., will provide an E15 update. Dan, what's the current policy status concerning E15?
Well, Jesse, first of all, thank you very much for having me on again. Always great to be with you. Right now, we're kind of in a holding pattern right now, at least for nationwide E15 from a legislative standpoint. We are working with Congress and interested parties, of course, our friends at the corn growers and our trade associations, Growth and RFA. CHS is a member of both, trying to get this push across the finish line so farmers have certainty and American drivers generally have certainty that they'll have access to lower cost, lower carbon fuels, and that ethanol is going to be with us for a long time. So that's on the legislative side. On the regulatory side, we are facing another short timeline for EPA to decide whether it's going to be issuing summertime waivers, emergency waivers, like it has in the previous few years. We're in talking with EPA just last week and highlighted the importance of summertime E15 for CHS, for the cooperative system, and for our farmer owners. And so right now, I think EPA is huddling up, trying to see if those conditions that warranted an emergency waiver last summer are still present. And we have certainly been pushing them to find that they are still present. So we were dealing with this on two fronts, the regulatory side and the legislative side, but we will continue to be pushing forward for what's important for our farmer owners.
Well, what are the benefits of year-round E15 availability? How does it help rural communities?
Yeah, well, I touched on one in the previous answer. Certainly, ethanol is cheaper than gasoline. E88 is going to be cheaper to fill up your tank. So the cost savings is definitely there. The environmental benefits are definitely there. Those are going to be lower carbon fuels. This administration is really focusing on lowering the carbon footprint of particularly our transportation fuels. Ethanol does that very well. So we encourage that. And then finally, thirdly, at least for our farmer owners, it gives that guaranteed market, that known market where our corn farmers can send bushels of corn to our ethanol plants and get that made into ethanol and then put in our gas tank. So it's really threefold the benefits for our rural communities. It's lower cost, it's lower carbon, and it's a market for our corn farmers.
Talk about ongoing efforts by CHS to promote E15 use, Dan.
Yeah, so I touched on the legislative efforts. I can get into that a little bit. Starting last year, CHS, because we're in such a unique position in the industry, we're both a refiner of fuels. We own and operate two refineries, and we own and operate two ethanol plants. We're owned and operated by lots of corn farmers around the country. And so we are really in a unique space here. So what we did was we got together with our Growth and RFA friends, as well as some merchant and small refinery interests who have been, I don't want to say holding up, but who have been hoping for more from an E15 package for their own interests. So we've sat around the table at least once a month, over an hour for the past year and a half, trying to hammer out a solution, a negotiated package that would allow nationwide E15 to move forward in exchange for something that will placate those small and merchant refiners. That's particularly important because the chairman of the Senate committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, has a sympathetic ear for those merchant refiners in his district. He's from Delaware. So it's really important to include them in these discussions so that bill can move through that Senate committee. So we're working hard to try to bring people together, have their voices heard, and get to a place where we can finally get nationwide year-round E15 passed for the country.
Well, what future policy objectives are ahead for E15?
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a nationwide legislative fix for sure. That is something I dedicate a lot of time to out here in Washington, trying to get friends of ours to work together to push for a legislative solution. But also on the regulatory front, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be pushing for those summertime E15 waivers. We're going to be keeping our distribution networks, our Senex folks, up to speed on where that is, how they're going to be able to play with it, if they're going to be able to play with it, which, you know, I'm very hopeful that they will be. But we're kind of hitting on all cylinders here, making sure that we're in the best position to advocate what's in the best interests of our farmer owners. And that is a year-round E15, either from a regulatory or a legislative standpoint.
Well, we have been talking with Dan Maurer, a member of the CHS Government Affairs team in Washington, D.C. Dan, thanks for joining us and giving us an update on E15. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Always good to be here.
And thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.